Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Daniel from the EMS Lounge. Coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com. Our call-in number tonight will be 760-283-4606. It's 760-283-4606. Call in with any questions, comments, concerns. We'll kind of go from there. Wanted to start off tonight and give a huge shout-out to some recent paramedic school graduates, my little maroon shirt people from Birmingham, Alabama. One of my best friends, John Hamilton, graduated, went ahead and got registry out of the way. Jenny Smiley, the Hackworths, and whoever else I'm forgetting. Congrats. A couple of them are busted out their associate's degrees with the completion of their paramedic school. I think one of them's already applied to go to the bachelor's program down in South Alabama. So kudos to y'all. Hats off. You know, awesome job with kind of elevating that standard, you know, and kind of help, you know, push our field to a higher level of care, you know, higher level of education to help validate, you know, where we're at as a career, you know, and that kind of launches us into what we're going to talk about tonight. Like I said, call in. We'll take some callers here in a little while, 760-283-4606. Tonight's going to be, you know, it's not going to be all the feel-goodism, and, you know, I'm sure we'll get some hate mail like I normally do. I was talking to a friend of mine last night. You know, one reason we wanted to start doing this podcast was to go beyond the keystrokes of social media, you know, kind of go beyond the keyboard. You know, we have to elevate our field, move beyond this stagnant nature that we seem to have fallen into. I was teaching a few weeks ago a difficult airway course and started talking about the oxyhemoglobin dissociation curve. And I noticed when I looked out into the crowd, about half the crowd had that deer in the headlights look. A lot of the people that knew what the oxyhemoglobin dissociation curve was were all advanced scope people, your critical care, your flight teams, or RNs and respiratory therapists. And it kind of bothered me, you know, because something like the oxyhemoglobin dissociation curve is something that we should know, you know, as ground-level providers and not just your advanced scope people. So in talking with that or talking about that, it kind of brought me, you know, to where our field is and where we are, you know, career-wise, and it kind of just pisses me off. I feel like we're just a ship kind of wandering around the sea aimlessly with nobody driving us. You know, there's no standards, there's no quality control. You know, there's very little oversight in EMS. You know, when people do something wrong, they very rarely, you know about it. Other, you know, when the pitchforks get brought out and they light the torches and, you know, go to, you know, come after their license. But instead of, you know, us going after people, you know, use, you know, mistakes as, you know, as a teaching moment. And I feel like a lot of times, you know, we miss these teaching moments because, you know, when we leave the hospital, it just stops there. You know, so that kind of brings us to what we're talking about tonight. You know, we have to advance, you know, and hone our trade, and I just don't feel like it's going there. I was talking to a friend of mine, Shane, earlier, just about what we were going to talk about tonight and kind of some stuff that, you know, we wanted to hit on and where we were going to go. And we got to talking about being proficient in our skills, you know, honing our trade, like everything from blacksmiths to doctors, from RNs to an electrician, you know, they hone their skills, they hone their trade, you know, they become proficient. You know, in the military, you know, we're taught to be just proficient. I mean, and they nail it into you and nail it into you and hit it and hit it and hit it. And we have to be proficient. I feel like a lot of times, you know, we're rushed through medic school, you know, and I know some people will disagree with me, and, you know, I'm sure some people are on their way to, you know, to set my house on fire as we speak. But we rush kids through paramedic school with one goal in common, or with one goal, and that's to pass registry. All right? As soon as they're let out of medic school, they're sent out into the, you know, the great blue wonder. Hey, all right, Dominus, you're blessed. Go out and treat people. I saw a few weeks ago, I was standing in the ER, saw a kid who I'd known for a while when he was an EMT come in with a patient. He was the lead paramedic on the truck, working with another EMT basic I knew. He kind of looked at me, and he kind of smiled and chuckled, and he said, yeah, I just passed registry 5 days ago, and I got turned loose on the truck. Well, damn, infuriated me. That's absolutely insane. How, after 5 days of you getting a paramedic license, you're solely responsible with no oversight at all to go take care of a patient? It's absolutely asinine. Like, it does not make any sense whatsoever. All right? So, nursing, you go through preceptorship. You're watched over 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks, depending on what hospital system you work in. Respiratory therapist, 8, 9, 10, 12 weeks, you know, depending on where you work at, with being watched over. EMS, there's nothing. There's no preceptorships. You know, most of the preceptorships is when people go, you know, whatever service they get hired with, they'll go through a brief orientation, ride a couple of shifts, you know, with a half-rate, jacked-legged FTO, and then when there's holes in the schedule, you're let loose. I'm not, you're good. That's BS. That's absolute crap, and it's not okay. Okay, that is not where we set a standard, you know, of care, and, you know, just a standard for ourselves. All right, this is why, you know, because of holes in schedules and manpower, we just put these people out, just set them out to come out and take care of my family. I'm not okay with that. Okay. It's a progression thing. DMS needs mentor programs. We need preceptorships. We need more oversight. You need more tighter quality control, QAQI, whatever you want to call it, programs set in place to help these new medics. We are setting them up to fail. So when I'm at work, you know, or we stand there and we see, you know, these just off-the-wall patients coming into the ER, we really can't be mad because you don't know what you don't know. All right? Not everybody's going to be like me and my friends who read medical articles every day, who listen to podcasts on my way home from work or my way to work. You know, not everybody's going to be like that. Not everybody's like most of our critical care providers who aim, you know, just for a little bit more knowledge. They thirst for just a little bit more knowledge than everybody else. Well, it's our Joe Blow ground providers, you know, all they want is that break after paramedic school. Right? We all know it's, you know, our field is notorious for signing off on all the ABC classes. That's not education. That's crap. Okay? It is not education. Just signing off on somebody for an ACLS card, a PALS card, a CPR card, that is not continuing education. And it's complete BS. It is not okay because I don't want you coming to my house taking care of me or my family. I'm not okay with it, and none of you should be okay with it. Pisses me off that day after day, we sit here and just watch this patient after patient after patient come in, which is completely just substandard pre-hospital emergency medicine care, and nobody's doing nothing about it. Nobody says nothing. Everybody turns a blind eye. There's nobody's taking this chance to say, hey man, let me talk to you outside. How about next time, why don't we try this? How about next time, why don't we try that? Let's do this next time, let's do that. Okay? There's nothing. Zero. Nada. All right? so it kind of brings us, you know, to what we're talking about tonight. You know, when do we start eating our young? Sorry, I just got a text message saying that they were having trouble hearing. All right, so when do we start eating our young, policing our own? When as the non-management types, do we start making a change with this? Because, guys, it's going to be up to us, okay? It's not up to our bosses. You know, it is not up to, you know, our supervisors. It is up to the ground level, your frontline pipe hitters, for us to change this, okay? Management, all management's worried about is making sure, you know, we're on time, making sure that all the holes in the schedule are filled. You know, most services, if they do have a QA/QI person, it's one person, okay? Most time, each company has one person doing the education. Okay, education has changes so much. You know, there are so many new studies coming out, and it's evolving. One person can't do that, okay? This is not it's not a one-person thing. So we have to police our own. We, as the ground-level providers, as the pipe hitters, have to start eating our young. All right? I'm not talking about eating the weak. And, you know, we have to take care of our tribe. We have to take care of our people. Because if we don't, nothing's going to change. You know, we often, a lot of times, we sit back and we wait for management to change. We wait for this and that to change when it's on us, okay? Early in my career, I would always look to my officers, my management, to help us make change. Hey, you know, I'd go up to them, hey, we need to do this, this, and this. And they would just kind of look at you. You know, change is often curtailed by finances, you know, and money, because we all know that in our field, money runs everything. Okay, we can spend, you know, $750 to $1 million on a fire truck, but we can't spend $4,000 on, you know, a video laryngoscope, or we can't spend $3,000 to $5,000 on an auto pulse. You know, 90% of what we do, if not more, is EMS. So why would it make sense that we put most of our money towards, I don't know, you know, EMS? But that's another, you know, that's another argument for another day. All right, so we have to set the standards, okay? So we know what the standard of care is. The data is out there. You know, medicine is ever-changing. So the data is out there. The numbers are out there. The statistics are out there. So what do? All right, education is free. You know, people are constantly, well, not, you know, not when I teach, it's not free, or the Kelly Graysons of the world. But education is free, you know. People in EMS, we want to gripe and we want to complain. We want to talk and, you know, sit around the water cooler talking about burning the village down. But we don't want to be the ones to start that change. Well, about a year ago, I told all my friends, I said, you know what, to hell with it. I'm going to be that person. We're going to make change now. So we've slowly but surely started, you know, knocking on doors, kind of stirring up the status quo, moving away from, you know, just substandard care, all right? So what do? Education is free on the Internet. You've got YouTube. You've got EMS World. There's, I mean, EMS blogs, EMS podcasts, free galore. Why are we not taking advantage of that? Some people, you just don't know what you don't know. Some people do know. It's free. Hell, I watch YouTube. I listen to the Flight Bridge ED podcast. I listen to MCRIT. I listen to Second Shift. All right? Those are all free podcasts. YouTube, there's videos that talk about everything from airway to cardiology to general medical. I mean, you name it, it's out there. There's books on Amazon. All right? So we have to light the fire within ourselves and take a personal responsibility. Because we have to stop waiting on everybody else. to change it for us. It's not going to change, all right? We have to be the change. It's like that Gandhi said, you know, that old Gandhi quote, you know, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. We have to be that change we want to see in the field of EMS because nobody else is going to do it for us, okay? We have to fight for higher standards. We have to fight and hold our partners, our friends, and even the people that we don't like to a higher standard. We have to have education. We have to have quality education. All right, we've got the EMS conference coming up in March of 2016, March 4th, 5th, and 6th in Birmingham, Alabama. Quality education, and I still got people, you know, 3 days, it's like $118. I still have people that gripe at me. Oh, that's too much. Oh, I don't know if I can get off. Okay, well, you're part of the problem. You and that mentality are part of the problem in EMS in Alabama, okay? We have got to change the stagnant, you know, flow that we have in EMS. We have to make, you know, and help promote new leadership, all right? We have got to make a change. We have to make a change with how we treat our patients, okay? Everybody hates on nurses, and, you know, I used to be, you know, a huge, you know, hater and nurse, you know, anti-nurse advocate. So I realized, you know, nurses are pretty daggum good at their job. You know, they know their patients. They know their patient care. You know, they know how to do their jobs. And they do, you know, not all of them. Most of them do their job well. Okay? They are set at a higher standard. They have associate's programs. They have bachelor's programs. They have master's career paths. Why do we not have that in EMS? Because there is no standard. There's no standards of care other than our protocols. And hell, most of the people that you meet out on the street barely know their protocols. All right, so that's a problem. That is a huge problem. I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and y'all are going to hear him on here. You know, Shane's going to be, you know, doing the podcast with me. And I was talking to him, and he said that the protocol reviews for the state are just spent like they're just a generalized certificate. Like there's hardly any oversight. You know, they all have the same number. We don't learn that way. That's not how you learn. That's complete crap. Okay. And so the changes that do come, unless you have a proactive training officer, you know, the changes that do come out, you're going to figure out once you either do something wrong or your friend who's not a substandard joke of a paramedic tells you that this has changed. All right. So we have to set a higher standard for ourselves because nobody else is going to do it for us. All right. When it comes to I wear this shirt, you wear that colored shirt, my ambulance is this color, you know, the normal corporate warfare that we see in EMS, we got to learn to lay that BS to the side because that's crap. I don't give a flying rat's rear end what color shirt you wear, what color, you know, truck you ride in, who you work for. All these damn 911 calls are the same, every single one of them. All right, so when these people are calling 911, they need the most up-to-date, advanced, pre-hospital care that they can get. When somebody's laying there on the ground having the absolute worst day of their life, does it really matter what color shirts or what color trucks we wear, or what color trucks we ride in, excuse me, does it really matter? All right, all the political, you know, management games, does that stuff matter to us somebody just had a wreck out in front of the station. You know, all that stuff doesn't matter to us. All right, all the frontline, you know, door kickers, we don't care, all right? On our side, away from management, we have to be leaders ourselves. We have to start managing our ground providers. And that's not only leadership, it's mentoring. We've got to mentor these young people or the people who are just substandard, you know, lackluster paramedics, all right, to mentor these EMT basics, the EMT advanced, you know, and help train these people and say, hey, look, that's the old school medicine. We're not doing this no more. All right? We have to have more people who are more up to date on new standards of care, new research, new data coming out. You know, it can't be one person. You know, and that's what I was telling my buddy, you know, it can't be me. I am one person, and I can only reach so many. You know, I'm still learning. I learn every day. You know, I try to at least once a day read and learn one thing that I didn't know. You know, I listen to podcasts on my way to work, and I'm not saying everybody should be like me, but, you know, never stop learning. Medicine is ever-evolving, ever-changing, all right? And we have to stay ahead of the curve, because there's new stuff coming out every day. All right, I listened to a podcast last night about dopamine, you know, and there's a lot of data coming out that, you know, dopamine is potentially not the best drug for pre-hospital providers. There's a lot of doctors, you know, moving towards Levofen. You know, it is evidence-based medicine, okay? All right, so it's stuff like that. It helps change, you know, put new air into, you know, the stagnant box that we are in EMS. You know, we have to not only stay up on the new stuff, we have to change the old stuff. We have to change this old mentality. That's how it's always done. Okay, well, you're a 20-year paramedic. Well, at the end of the damn day, that makes you an old paramedic. That's it. You don't impress me. You know, I had a nurse tell me one time, so I've been doing this for 30 years. Well, congratulations, you're an old nurse. All right, medicine changes, and it changes a lot. And we kind of have to stay ahead of that. You know, we have a lot against us in EMS. You know, we've got to change the standard, because if we don't, nothing's going to change with us. We're not ever going to make more. We're not ever going to get paid more. All right, we're just going to keep, you know, making our $9, $10, $11 an hour if we don't set ourselves to a higher standard. You know, nursing has done it. Respiratory therapy has done it. You know, doctors, I mean, everybody else except us. We've pretty much stayed the same. And I'm not okay with that. All right? So I know this, you know, I'm sure some of this has pissed some of you off. Some of you are sitting there nodding and agreeing with me. You know, some of you are probably standing in my front yard hanging a noose around my tree. But nothing I've said is not true. Okay? We have got to change. We have got to, you know, reinvigorate our old stagnant leadership. We've got to start putting our thumbs down on our management, you know, and saying, hey, we need a change. We need to change our education. We need to change, you know, our standard of care. If we can spend X amount of dollars on this, why can we not spend X amount of dollars on a video laryngoscope or an auto pulse or, you know, something that benefits these patients that we're, you know, running on? All right, don't be afraid to be a heretic. You know, I've been known my entire career as a troublemaker. I'm this, I'm that, you know, whatever. My ultimate goal, like I've always said, is for the betterment of pre-hospital care, not only for the providers and higher wages, a higher level of care. You know, I want pre-hospital providers to have more respect. You know, I don't want y'all walking out of a hospital and the nurses talking about how stupid you are, okay? And not only that, I want it for the patients, okay? I want the patients we serve, you know, to get a better level of care. And the way we're going right now, they're not getting that, all right? So feel free to call in. We had one call and I missed it. We got about 5 minutes left. At 760-283-4606. Feel free to call in. Whoever that was that just called, I'll get you in. We got about 5 minutes left. But like we've talked about, you know, we have to hone our skills. We have to be, you know, we are pre-hospital practitioners. You know, we are not certificate EMTs or technicians. We are practitioners. We practice medicine. We are the first 50 yards of that patient's medical care, irregardless if we deem it as BS, if we deem it as, you know, just another run, we're the first 50 yards of a 100-yard race, okay? Medicine is not a sprint. It's not a drag race. It is a marathon, and we have to change the standard, you know, all the way from the education to the continuing education to the standard of care, because, guys, if we don't, we're never going to go anywhere. You know, it really hurts my heart, you know, to see a lot of the stuff that comes in, you know, that we see, because nothing's changing, all right? Nothing's getting any better. You know, we are not growing with medicine like we should, all right? You know, when I was at UAB, I used to get mad at my teacher, Randy Gray, who was a good friend of mine, used to want us, you know, used to make us know about blood gases. I'm like, why in the crap do we need to know about blood gases? Why do we need to know about hemoglobins? Why do we need to know about hermaticrits? We don't test blood in the field. We don't do lab values. Well, it's like I was asking somebody the other day about the pH of normal saline, and they just kind of looked at me. And I was like, well, you know that normal saline is a hyperchloremic solution. I mean, not the best, you know, fluid for, you know, an acidotic patient. They just kind of looked at me, and I was like, yeah, so the pH of normal saline is anywhere from 5.0 to 7.0. They just kind of looked at me like, well, I never knew that, you know. And that's the stuff as pre-hospital providers that we have to know this stuff. You know, it's absolutely insane that, you know, we have these medics that have been medics for 20-plus years who can't read a 12-lead EKG, all right? If we're going to be pre-hospital providers and, you know, we're practicing medicine, then you have to practice medicine. We have to move away from, you know, getting your medic license to get a fire department job or getting your medic license to get off a damn ambulance. I don't want you in my field if that's why you become a paramedic. All right, I hold myself to a higher standard, and you should as well, okay? So I get tired of, you know, people saying, well, I got my medic just so I could get a fire department job. Well, hey, Bubba, calls are still the same, okay? All right, we still run the same 911 calls. I know everybody wants to, you know, thinks it's all sexy and cool, drag hose and ride up and down the damn streets hanging your arm outside of a fire truck. We still got to practice medicine. All right, it's no different. We practice medicine. We are emergency medical practitioners. It don't matter if you ride in a Tahoe. It don't matter if you ride in an ambulance, a fire truck, a helicopter, a plane, or Santa's freaking red sleigh. We are emergency medical practitioners, and we have to act like it. And if we don't start policing ourselves, we are never going to advance and progress as a field and get the respect that we deserve in our field. You know, I'm often known as the troublemaker, you know, whatever. It's crap. I want our field to be elevated to a higher standard. We have to be more progressive. We have to take care of our own, and we have to start eating the ones who don't. We have got to weed out and figure out who the weak ones are, if they're retrainable, and if they're not, they need to go do something else, because I think Walmart's hiring. They can go change oil for all I care. I don't want them running calls on my family. All right? We've got about 45 seconds left. I've missed a couple of calls as I got on my rant, so I apologize. I'll get y'all in on the next one. Send us some feedback on what you think of the podcast and what you thought of tonight. Make sure to get my dogs out of the house when y'all go burn my house down tonight. So we appreciate everybody listening. Like I said, sorry I didn't mean to get on a rant. But leave us some feedback and leave us, you know, what you thought, especially any technical issues that you had, and we'll kind of go from there. And we appreciate you listening to the EMS Lounge on blogtalkradio.com. See y'all next time.